coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. What do we have today? Hey, listen to this.
Criminals, you face the sworn protector of this fair city. You face the tick.
That's right, folks. Today, we're going to be talking about ticks, our sworn enemy. Of course, in that particular clip, in that cartoon, in that comic series, and a television series, the tick is the hero. But in our show today, the tick is not the hero. The tick is the bad guy. What exactly is a tick? Well, let's check it out. I go to dictionary.com. Let's find out. What is a tick? Is he the good guy? I think not. Tick, noun. Any of numerous blood-sucking arachnids of the order Acarina, including the families Ioxidae and Argacidae. Somewhat larger than the related mites and having a barbed proboscis for attachment to the skin of warm-blooded vertebrates. Some ticks are vectors of disease. That doesn't sound like the good guy to me. But, have you ever gotten a tick on you? Those suckers, no pun intended, they just latch on and they do not let go. You ever wonder how to get those things off? You ever wonder how to not get them on you in the first place? And we are going to be speaking with Brian Anderson. He is a bona fide, certified, dyed-in-the-wool, born and raised youper. What is a youper? Well, hey, that's someone from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They usually have an accent. They'll go, hey, you got a tick on you, eh? They always end every sentence with A, or up into UP, eh? That kind of stuff. And all of us down here below the bridge, we're called trolls. But I love the Upper Peninsula. And we'll be speaking with Brian Anderson all about ticks. He'll tell us how to keep from getting them on our clothing. He'll talk about prevention. He'll talk about, well, what do you do? How do you actually get those things off? Because when they latch onto you, they're pretty much there, for the duration of your life, unless you do something to get them off. And we'll talk about Lyme disease, too. What exactly is it? How to prevent it? How to treat it? All kinds of stuff like that. So, this show is dedicated to protecting your family against ticks. So what do you think about that, Mr. Tick?
You tell that boy of yours that his uncle and his blue friend are a crime-fighting duo, a two-headed cobra of goodness slithering down the path of righteousness, leaving its venom deep in the hindquarters of evil.
Okay, well, I didn't see that one coming, but yeah, ticks are like that. They do latch onto your hindquarters, and they fill you with evil. But hey, enough of the tick. We'll talk more about that in segments 2 and 3. All right, my garden is all planted. It's already rocking. It's just growing like crazy. Of course, the weeds are too, but I'm fighting those off. Having a good time. Having a really good time, taking the kids swimming a lot. My son, Cedar, and I, the 12-year-old, we both bought snorkel gear. About 3 or 4 times a week, we are snorkeling just a mile down the road there in Lake 16. Yes, Virginia, there is a Lake 16. It's, I don't think there is a Lake 15, but here in Michigan, you know, that's the way that it is. We're having a great time. You know, find something that your kids love and that you love. That is a real challenge. It's easy if you're an adult and all you care about is video games and you can share that with your kids. That's easy, but it's not that bonding. Find something physical, something outdoors, something in the real world, and share it with your kids. If you can do that, oh man, you're doing fantastic. And so Cedar and I are doing that, and we're just loving it. Phoenix and I, he loves to ride the lawnmower. So we are riding the lawnmower together. Amethyst and I, we do the same thing. Amethyst, she's a little more feminine than us guys, but I guess that's good since she is a female. 7-year-old little princess girl, and I have a secret. A few days ago, I let my 7-year-old daughter Amethyst paint my toenails with purple nail polish. And you know what? Boy, barring the apocalypse, that stuff just doesn't come off. So I still have purple toenails. Sarah says I need to use nail polish remover. I haven't found it yet, but boy, definitely I need to get this nail polish, this purple nail polish off my toenails. Because I was down the lake a couple days ago, and I had forgotten all about it. And there was this scuba diving club there, and there were about 20, you know, manly guys standing around, scuba diver types, right? And I sit down, and you know, they're watching me, and I peel off my socks, and there's purple nail polish, and they never did come up and introduce themselves. It was the oddest thing. But anyways, my boat does not float in that direction, so I'm gonna have to ditch the nail polish. But hey, my daughter loved it, and I'm all about making my daughter happy. So we will move on. I want to have time for the news because there's all kinds of stuff in the news. Have you seen the articles, the video about this FBI agent, this FBI guy who is just did a backflip and lost his gun and then accidentally shot a bystander? I've read several articles so far about that in the last week. Boy, I've read it from CNN, from Fox News, from BearingArms.com, even from Al Jazeera. And I can tell you, you know, the FBI, they already had some public relations problems. Now, they are not looking good at all, which is a shame because the FBI, they get some good training. But it seems like they've been politicized, maybe even weaponized against President Trump. Some would say even the American public. So, FBI not looking real good today. Some would say they might even look like blood-sucking arachnids of the Order Acarina. But maybe not. Dancing FBI agent. All right, listen to this from the BBC. Dancing FBI agent drops gun during backflip and shoots man in leg. And I've watched this video. Man, great backflip. This guy's in pretty good shape. I mean, yeah, and you gotta know this guy was probably drunk. Who does that when they're sober, right? I mean, FBI guys are supposed to be the cream of the crop, right? I mean, not just anybody gets in the FBI. I was doing an advanced class last weekend, and we were timing the draw stroke and videotaping it and timing it with shot timers. And I made mention that, you know, in the FBI qualification, you have to be able to draw and put one bullet on target within 1.5 seconds. And one of the other students said, "Do we really want to be associated with the FBI?" I thought, well, okay, maybe not. But, you know, it's like anything else, right? I mean, you got one cop who does something stupid, so all cops take a hit. You got one FBI guy does something stupid, and so all of a sudden everybody else in their club is bad. And it's the same with concealed carry holders. We've been worried about that for years. We have one stupid concealed pistol license holder do something incredibly inane and stupid, and it makes all of us look bad. That's why you got to police your own. But here's the BBC. You know they don't like guns anyways. An off-duty FBI agent accidentally shot a bystander in the leg when his gun fell from its holster as he cavorted on the dance floor of a bar in Denver. Video widely shared on Twitter shows the agent strutting his stuff and then performing a backflip. It's a great backflip, by the way. The gun falls to the floor, and as the agent goes to grab it, fires a shot. Jeez. The fellow customer hit by the bullet was taken to hospital with a non-life-threatening injury. Actually, that's not totally true. I mean, you read other articles and you find out, man, this guy was hit in the leg, and it was an artery. And one of the bystanders had to put on a tourniquet to save the man's life. If this guy had been untreated, he would have bled out in just a couple of minutes. So thank God someone was there with a belt and the know-how to put on a tourniquet. Or, you know, we'll see. It is unclear if the agent who has not been named will face charges or disciplinary action. You know, that statement is like, how could he not face something? Go, oh, yeah, FBI guy, well, we'll let this one pass. You know, we'll give you a get-out-of-jail-free card on this one. You know, life is not Monopoly. You can't get out of jail free. But we'll see. This guy, he shouldn't be an FBI agent anymore. He shouldn't. Boy, if you or I, if a CPL holder had been in a bar, started drinking, done a backflip, and shot somebody and almost killed him, do you think that he would have been, they would have given him a ride home and say, okay, well, if we're going to press charges, we'll let you know? No, you'd have gone straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to jail. And you'd still be there. So I don't like this guy getting special treatment. You know, I'm all for law enforcement, but I don't really like federal law enforcement anyways. ATF, the FBI, it just seems like they're too big for their britches. Police are asking witnesses to come forward to help investigators who are waiting on lab test results to determine if alcohol was a factor. You know, if alcohol wasn't a factor, and this guy was acting that way, sober, then he shouldn't be an FBI guy anyways, because that was just stupid. Doing a backflip with a gun in the middle of your back like that? Did he think it was going to stay there? Has he done this kind of stuff before? We'll probably never find out. But, hey, that's the way that it is. What else we got here? Al Jazeera, dancing FBI agent backflips, accidentally shoots bystander. It was an accident, but it sure was stupid. All right, first part of the article just gives all the facts, like all the other ones. But then they go down here. I don't think Al Jazeera is real fond of FBI guys. According to the FBI's website, the agency's firearm curriculum includes about 5,000 rounds of ammunition. Yes, but that's true. But none of that training includes somersaults, backflips, cartwheels, anything like that. It's all just pretty much non-acrobatic. So, you know, maybe we should cut the guy some slack here. All right. Oh, here's a quote. Now watch this video of an FBI agent accidentally shooting someone while dancing and then try to tell me people who want to arm teachers aren't morons. You see the way the left does that? It's like, okay, if an FBI agent can't be trusted with a gun, then you and I, we can't be trusted either. And of course, that's just not true. If you've got 1,000 FBI guys, you think one of them isn't an idiot? Yeah, one of them is an idiot. We just don't know which one until they get drunk and then do backflips with their gun and then shoot somebody. All right. And here's another quote. An FBI agent drops his gun while dancing and shoots someone while picking it up. Then he just shrugs it off and walks away, which is pretty much what all cops do when they shoot someone. No, that's not true, but that's the spin for Al Jazeera. Both gun violence generally and police violence specifically are subject of intense social media debate in the U.S. Well, that is true. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you guys have your opinion on the FBI guy. You know, let me know. I'd like to know what everybody else is thinking. Pretty much, this is all one-sided for me. But let me know what you guys think about this FBI guy. Do you think he should be terminated? Should he be suspended? Should they take away his gun or maybe his dancing privileges? Say, yeah, you can be an FBI guy, but no more dancing for you, bub. Let me know what you guys think. Just send an email to skipcoriel@hotmail.com, skipcoriel@hotmail.com, and we will check that out. Okay, coming up, we have got ticks, blood-sucking vermin. I'm not talking about politicians this time. Blood-sucking vermin who aren't in Washington, D.C. We're going to learn all about how do you protect your family against ticks, because this is tick season, and there is no bag limit. So check it out. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Brian Anderson, a bona fide Youper from the UP in Michigan, and he's going to educate us on how you can protect your family against ticks, blood-sucking vermin. All right, we got a two-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us, and see what Larry Jackson can do to help your family pick out the right firearms for personal defense. And then go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and find out what Firearms Legal Protection can do to protect your family legally should you ever have to use your firearm for personal defense. Okay, when we come back, Brian Anderson from the UP and all things blood-sucking vermin. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Well, here you are, weary traveler, one steaming hot cup of justice. No need to thank me. It's my sworn duty to defend this bus station against the ravages of evil.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Now, as promised, we are talking all about ticks today. Lyme disease, ticks, all kinds of vile, foul, nasty things. And we have somewhat of a layman's expert on the line with us. This is Brian Anderson from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Brian, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Welcome, Skip. I'm glad to be here. It should be fun.
You know, Brian, how long have you been in the UP? Because you don't have much of an accent.
Well, actually, I was born here a long time ago.
And yeah.
And my dad... Seriously, yeah. And my dad was a state cop, so we moved downstate, and I spent most of my next 18 years down there. But then after that, when I got married in 79, I moved back here. So I've been a Youper since then, pretty much almost 40 years now.
So technically, you were born in the UP, so you're not a troll.
Yep.
You're an actual Youper.
Nope. I'm an actual Youper, yep.
All right. But
believe it or not.
Your formative years were in the Lower Peninsula, so that's why you don't have the accent.
Correct, yeah.
All right.
Yep, I would say that.
Okay, well, good enough. Well, Brian, there's a history with you and I. We went to college together many, many, Well, I guess you could say decades ago. It's been a while. I was on your website and saw that you're a grandfather, and I thought, how can he be a grandfather? Last time I saw him, you know, he still had acne. So how does this happen? How'd you get so old without me aging?
I'm trying to figure that out. I got a grandson who's going to be a junior in high school this coming fall. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, we really appreciate you being on the show and what you're going to be talking about today. Before we get started, sometimes people like to follow along. Where is your website where people can get information? They can be looking at that while we're talking.
Yeah, that'd be great if they could, yeah. It's the website is www.LymeTickBugHub.com. And Lyme is spelled L-Y-M-E, and then Tick, Bug, Hub.
Lyme, L-Y-M-E, for those of you who don't know nothing, right?
Yeah, and me, I have to watch too, because I was not an English major like you, you know?
Well, actually, that was an allusion to one of my favorite movies, Escanaba in the Moonlight. Anyways, you have watched the movie, right?
Yeah, I've seen some of it, yeah. Jeff Daniels did that. Crazy guy.
Oh, yeah. Where exactly are you in the Upper Peninsula?
I'm only about 45 minutes from Escanaba, actually.
You're west, right?
Correct. We're basically central. We are straight north of Green Bay, Wisconsin, 100 miles. We're right on the border of Wisconsin is where Iron Mountain is.
Oh, wow.
So it's definitely central. We do not get a lot of snow like they do in the snow belts. When you hear people getting, you know, 3-4 feet, it's normally not us. But we do have our share, and it's plenty cold. And we do have cars now. We're not all living on dog sleds and stuff like that. We're not all in log cabin homes.
So you don't get snow. Is that because you're north of Lake Michigan and you don't get all the lake effect snow?
Right. Just because we are where we happen to be. I mean, there's parts of the UP that just get absolutely hammered, but we get snow, but not in those huge quantities like they get. They get so much, they don't even report it in national news half the time. You know, when they get 3-4 feet and they broadcast it out in New York, something like that, where you have heavy populations. But up here, it's, you know, kind of normal for those
yeah.
people to get it.
Brian, talk to us about, you know, everyone knows what a tick is in that they hate ticks. And you got the dreaded Lyme disease and all that. But give us a little bit of background information on ticks in general.
Well, ticks in general are basically part of the arachnid family, which is the spider family. And as gross as that is, we don't think of them as spiders, but they are, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And they are all over. They're gaining more and more popularity as time goes on, which is, you know, I don't know why.
Well, I don't know that I'd call them popular, Brian.
Yeah, probably not. They're gaining in numbers, let's say that.
Oh, there you go.
Actually, what's happened to me, I kind of had a little weird fascination with them for a number of years, where I've been trying to kill them. I mean, kind of when, you know, terminate them. Kind of a nickname is I'm like the tick terminator, you know?
Watch out, those animal rights activists. They'll be up there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about the PETA people. People eating tasty animals, right?
That's right. That's right. So talk about
that's
ticks.
That's what we like to call them, because, yeah, I know. Can't get talking about hunting. But anyways, I had a fascination with them, and I was working on them in my basement with my grandsons even a couple of years ago on a nice white carpet. I would put them in the carpet and, you know, like one at a time so they wouldn't get loose and wild. And just watch what they would do with different smells and different odors and different things like that, just trying to study them and learn about them. And they're very interesting in what they like and they don't like. And what happened after a while there is I started to hear more and more friends that were getting Lyme disease. And it's just an awful, awful illness. I mean, it's something that almost never goes away.
Yeah.
And so I started looking at even more things as I'm doing my experiments and trying to figure out some kind of product that I could put in the house, you know, to keep them away, or something that we could, you know, do with clothes. And I'm starting to do more and more research online and Googling things. And I kept coming across this one product that's called permethrin. And I was just fascinated by this product called Permethrin, like well over a year ago. The cool thing about this product is that the way it reacts to ticks and actually bugs in general. I mean, right on the bottle that says it calls itself insect repellent, and it is designed for clothing and gear. You can put it on all kinds of stuff. And the interesting thing about what it does, it is virtually non-toxic to humans. All right, it doesn't bother us at all. EPA, you know, approved and all that kind of stuff. But for little ticks and bugs, it reacts to their nervous system. I mean, you got to understand, I'm a little crazy, okay? I mean, just the last couple weekends, you know, I put the stuff on my clothes. I mean, I'm talking about socks, shoes, pants, hat, you know, everything. You put on everything like that, and it dries in about 4 hours, and you don't even know it's there. Odorless, hunters love it for that reason, and it's just like you forget it's there. Mm-hmm. But when a tick gets on you, for an example, like a deer tick, they're the small ticks, the real tiny ones, and they're the ones that carry most of the Lyme even too. What happens to them, Skip, is almost comical, all right? Because they start crawling up my pants a little bit because they get on my pants from a piece of grass. They basically sit on a piece of grass and wait for something to walk by to get on so they can suck their blood, all right?
Okay. I've dated women like that. But that was a long time ago, okay? Long time ago.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, they're sitting there. That's their life, you know, kind of boring, but that's what it is. And once they get on, let's say your pants, they're going to just get on pretty much from your knees on down in most cases. They don't fall out of trees. You know, they don't jump. I mean, they just sit there and try to get you. Hmm. But once they're on you, they start reacting to this permethrin that only they can sense with their bodies, and it affects their nervous system. Mm-hmm. It's almost comical because they almost get like a drunk type of manner about them because they're, you know, rocking back and forth, and they just don't know what to do because their nervous system is so affected. And after a little bit of time, it doesn't take very long, the little ones especially will just actually fall off and then they'll die.
Hmm.
Which is great. You know?
And you this, right? You just sat there. It's what'd you do last night, Brian? Well, I killed about 25 ticks. I just watched them die. I filmed it, you know.
I had them on my pants. I was watching them do it because I want to experiment with them, you know?
You're right.
So okay. out of my mom and dad's, I walked in this one little lane that we call Wood Tick Alley because a couple of years ago, my mom and dad had a dog, and the one time they came out of that alley with that lane with 163 ticks on it.
Wow.
Which that's aptly named, you know, Wood Tick Alley. So
how many people would count that many ticks? That's my question. It was you, wasn't it?
A dog lover. Oh. No, it wasn't me. It was my mom and dad.
Okay.
You know?
There were more.
Yeah, it could have been more, but they probably stopped at 163.
Okay.
So that's where I go when I want to look for ticks and experiment with them. Mm-hmm. And just kind of watch them. Now, the bigger ones are a little more hardy, and they will crawl up further on you before they start to get affected, you know.
Well, how many kinds of ticks are there? Brian, how many kinds of ticks are there?
Oh, there's actually, around the world, there's hundreds of them.
Oh, wow.
In the States here, there's probably, you know, maybe a half a dozen, pretty much so.
Mm-hmm.
But on my website here, I talk about basically three of them, you know.
Tell us about those three. Deer ticks, okay.
Yeah, deer ticks, Lone Star ticks, brown dog ticks. You know, they're kind of disgusting looking. But those are the most common ones in North America here where we live.
Yeah.
And they're kind of gross looking. One of them, you know, a brown tick is kind of like a soft body one. And the hard body one is more like a deer tick.
There's one that's kind of like a reddish orange, isn't there?
Yeah, that's going to vary.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose by whoever takes the picture of it.
Okay.
Reddish, orangish, brownish, you know.
Oh, okay.
But what you don't want is one that kind of looks whitish, because if it's whitish, that means it's really fat and it sucked a lot of blood.
Oh, okay.
I remember my grandfather taking them off the dogs when I was just a kid up, you know, visiting up here. And they used to get the size of a nickel practically sometimes. It was disgusting.
Oh, my
gosh.
Wow.
I mean, it was bad because they had been on there for quite a while.
They're the vampires of the insect world, huh?
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, I don't like ticks because they really suck, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. That's absolutely true. But Brian, we're already out of time for the first segment. Can you run your website by us again so people can be checking it out?
Yes, LymeTickBugHub.com.
So it's the place to go for all your Lyme tick bug hub news and information. Okay. All right. Well, Brian, this has been good. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this permethrin stuff, and then maybe prevention, what to do if they get on you, and all kinds of practical stuff like that. So we got 2 minutes, folks. While you're away, go to LymeTickBugHub.com. Check that out. Also, check out our sponsors. Go to FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical, and then check out Elitefirearms.us. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. We're speaking with Brian Anderson, a real live youper. Born and lived most of his life up in the Upper Peninsula, the great frozen tundra. I mean, you're almost to the Arctic Circle up there. People go there, and usually they just freeze to death and, you know, and just fall over dead. But, you know, this permethrin stuff, it sounds like it's like the kryptonite of the insect world. Talk about permethrin some more. How do you get it?
It's an amazing, it's an amazing product. I mean, you can actually get it right on my website. Here's what I want to do. I want to make the website extremely educational so people can understand about this, you know, especially about ticks and about how you can actually prevent them getting on you. Mm-hmm. And permethrin is by far, without a doubt, the main product for that. There's really hardly anything else out there like it that I can find. There's only two companies that actually make this product. And Sawyer, the one that I use on my website, is by far the number one out there in the market.
Hmm.
Not even close. So it's extremely small market, but with really some good stuff here. I mean, this permethrin is very unique in a couple different ways. Number one, our military has been using it for a couple decades now, okay?
Oh, wow.
A lot of cool stuff that we use every day that we don't even realize has, you know, our tax dollars have gone to making some unique products. And permethrin here has been around for quite some time. But what I want to say about it is that What's unique about it is several different things. Number one is, like I already told you, it dries on your clothes. You know, you want to hang them up and spray them on the clothes. There's all kinds of videos on my site too. It tells you how to do that. Basically, you hang them on a clothesline, best outside probably, where you have some outdoor air, and just spray them good where you almost get them pretty wet. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then let them dry at least 4 hours or overnight. And then you're good to go. Here's the cool thing about it that virtually no other product can do. There's other products that claim that they can be insect repellents and tick repellents, but the nice thing about permethrin is it stays on your clothes. They say for up to 6 weeks or 6 washings.
Hmm.
Now, I like to say even maybe a little bit less than time that just to make them really potent. I probably spray my clothes about once a month. My outdoor, you know, woods clothes, if I want to call it.
Well, that's
that.
Because you're going out there hunting. You know, I go deer hunting. You go out there hunting for ticks. You know, what kind of handgun do you use on these ticks anyway? What caliber? The big ones.
Well, when we were with my grandsons, we actually were shooting them with a .22.
Oh, you are sick. You're sick, but you're my kind of sick, Brian. That you're like youper sick, which up there is normal. So that's good.
Yeah. .22
caliber for the small ones. You know, they get the size of a groundhog, then you probably want to upgrade to a 9mm. But that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. The permethrin, what does that run? It comes in, what, like a 10-ounce bottle or something like that?
No, the best bottle to get it in is their standard 24-ounce bottle.
Okay.
And that's what I, you know, have all the pictures on this website about. The 24-ounce bottle will do about 4 to 6 sets of clothes. And clothes meaning, you know, shirts and pants, you know, pretty much a whole outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to spray them front and back. So that's the best one. Again, I always tell people when you order, don't order just one because you're going to go through that too fast. You must order two right off the bat. And they're about $15 a piece.
Oh, boy, that's cheap.
Oh, I know. I mean, when you think of the cost of Lyme and sickness, I mean, this is nothing compared to that. I mean, a drop in a bucket. It's almost like a healthcare product, you know, to keep ticks off you so you don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
On the website, I just send everybody right to Amazon. They come on the website, they click on the product, and it takes them to Amazon. They just buy it right there. You know, off their own account. I just like people, you know, to come to there and order their stuff, order everything they want on Amazon.
So you're doing this just because you're a nice guy. Either you're a really bad businessman or you're doing this just because you care about people because you're not making any money off this.
A little bit from Amazon, but I really want to get the word out there.
Yeah.
Because it's such an easy way to prevent things. Nothing is 100%, I'll say that. But the permethrin, let me take another step further. The permethrin is for your clothes, all right?
Right.
Let's say somebody is out there with shorts, you know, T-shirt, stuff like that. There's another product that Sawyer also makes. It's called Picaridin. And that's on the website, too. That's for the skin.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And that will last up to about, you know, up to about 12 hours in a day. So if somebody's out there, you know, with long pants, I'll put that in, and then you're kind of putting a little armor on your body, and it cuts down the ticks dramatically, dramatically. So those are two things, the permethrin and the picaridin, both made by Sawyer, insect repellents.
Yeah, Brian, I do a lot of morel mushroom hunting in the spring, and then I do a lot of deer hunting in the fall. And, you know, prior to the frost, you know, they're still out there. And, you know, I assume they're on the deer that we're actually shooting and gutting out and all that. But, you know, one thing that just freaks me out is, you know, when one of my kids or my grandkids gets a tick on them. And, boy, they're all bloated up, you know, full of blood. And you're trying to take this tick off of there. And it's like, you know, short of napalm or a white phosphorus grenade, those suckers don't come off. I mean, how do you get these things off, you know, without mutilating the victim?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. First of all, you hope they don't get that big on a human because that means they've been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
All right. A little bit of education here is the longer a tick is on you, the more possibility that you may get some kind of disease from them. So if one's on you for, let's say, a couple hours, that's not so bad. There's no guarantees in anything, but the longer, the worse it is. The quicker, the less chances you may have of getting some kind of tick-borne illness, okay? Mm-hmm. So the way you want to take them off is with the tweezers, a fine-tip tweezers. You want to get as close down, and I even have a picture and a video on the website, too, of course, of everything I'm talking about. You want to get down as close to the skin as you possibly can. And then you want to lift straight up, okay? Because they may leave a little bit of their head in you. That's not going to bother. It'll go off. It does naturally, you know, dissipate from your skin in a couple weeks or less. But you want to pull it straight up and get it from the very bottom. Because here's what happens. If you do so, the old wives' tale of Vaseline or a match or all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you make the ticks mad. And Skip, guess what? You don't want to tick off a tick, all right?
Okay.
Because if you tick off a tick, he or she is more likely to regurgitate into, in other words, they're puking in you from yeah. their guts into your skin, and that's where some of the bad stuff may come out. So if you
okay.
take them off straight up with a tweezer, that's better, okay?
I see.
And then if you want to, you know, I would save that tick. And there's different places you can actually send that tick into to get them, you know, tested to see if they do have any tick-borne illnesses or a Lyme or something like that.
Ah, I see.
And those are on the website there, too.
Okay.
So,
well, you know, when I Google something like, you know, how to remove a tick, I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, you got people pouring gas on them. You got people, you know, with dish soap and... You know, you mentioned the Vaseline. You know, I've tried all of that stuff, and none of it works. The tick laughs at me. You know, it's like,
yeah, right.
I ain't coming off. I'm coming off of you. You know, so. But what about
they laugh at a tweezers though?
Well, that's true. That's true. The permethrin. If you put that on there, what happens when the tick's already on you?
I haven't tried it. Believe it or not, Skip, I have not had that question.
You know
that
what?
That's a good one.
You could experiment on one of your grandkids. Okay, all right.
Experiment on myself first.
Okay. How about on one of your dogs? You could experiment on one of your dogs. Send them out there, get them loaded down with 163 ticks, and then just start spraying that permethrin right on it. And you could take like a slow motion video, put it on your website. That would be so. Awesome. So, hey, listeners, you can look forward to that one.
You are a sick man.
Well, the pot's calling the kettle black now, Brian. But you're probably right. Okay, so you got to use the tweezers, pull them straight up before they puke into your body, basically. And then it just heals up on its own. So permethrin and... LymeTickBugHub.com. That's the place to go. All right, tell us. We've got a couple minutes. Tell us a good Lyme or a good tick story.
Oh, man. Actually, I remember I had a tick on me probably about at least 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it was on my back where I did not even know what it was. Just on my shoulder blade where I couldn't even see it. And I at that time I was doing some stuff working on houses, like doing satellite dish installations at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I had a sliver, you know, in there. And I had asked my wife, I said, honey, could you check back here on my shoulder? I said, I got like a little sliver or something back there. Could you pull it out? And she looks at it. She says, oh, there's legs coming out of it because it was almost embedded in there. And it was a tick.
Yeah.
All right. And that was way before I'd really done all my studying.
Yeah.
And we tried to get it out different ways, and we couldn't. And it was this is really rare that it ever gets in like that. And we ended up having a doctor take it out with a pair of tweezers. That's how he took
gosh.
It out.
Yeah. So, you know, I've done that before. Actually, like 15 days ago, you know, I had one a few weeks ago, went out mushroom hunting, came back. And, you know, I'll take a shower and then I'll give myself a visual look down just to make sure, inspection. And, boy, you know, Sarah found one on my back. And, but, you know, this woman is ruthless. It's like, you know, she took those tweezers and,
you know, she sent the kids to the kitchen for more tools, and I thought, no, this is going too far here. So I just, you know, hooked the jumper cables to this tick's legs. That's too far. But, you know, she got it off and everything, but it leaves a welt for, boy, probably 10 days or so. But the head that's left in there, or the whatever body parts there are, they don't seem to cause any lasting damage at all. But
No.
Brian, what
a couple weeks it should come out.
Yeah, what are some of the symptoms of Lyme disease?
A lot of them are like flu-type feeling, really tired, achy joints. They say this thing called brain fog.
Oh, so you're talking about old age. How are we supposed to know if we have it?
I know. Here's the tricky part about it is so many of your regular MDs, you know, family doctors, have not been trained in Lyme, so often it gets misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody suspects it, they almost need to go to some, like a Lyme literate doctor who has actually been trained in it. So if somebody suspects it, I mean, by all means, here's what happens. It usually takes a couple years, typically, for somebody to finally get diagnosed with Lyme, because they've gone through five or six different doctors. Nobody quite knew what it was. They still knew that something wasn't right. On the website, there's a place where you can actually enter in information for doctors, physicians. There's other ones on there, too. Put in your name, address, and zip code, stuff like that, and then in another day or so, it'll pop up some different physicians maybe that will be in your area or close to you, or however far it may be. But a Lyme doctor is the best one to go to because they understand it better. A lot of people that have been misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia, MS, numerous different things that the root cause eventually found out was actually Lyme disease.
Hmm.
It's the great imposter, they call it, something like that.
Yeah, so what is the treatment for Lyme disease? Do they die, or are they crippled, or what's up?
It varies almost by different medical doctors. I have some products online there that people can get on Amazon too, of course. Here's the best thing. The sooner it gets caught, the better. What happens if somebody catches it, let's say, within a couple of weeks of being bitten, most physicians will treat it with antibiotics.
Oh, okay.
And that will help quite a bit. I still think it needs to go a little bit beyond that, too. But what happens also, if somebody's had it for a couple of years, they get treated with antibiotics. That may help temporarily, but not in the long run.
Mm.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I want to preface and say that I'm not a doctor by any means, but all the research I've done, a Lyme-literate doctor is the best to go to because they really understand it so much better than anybody else.
Okay. But people don't die from Lyme disease.
Well, I wouldn't say 100% like that.
Okay.
Most don't. Yeah, most don't. The vast majority of them do not. But they've had some very miserable times of their life with it.
Mm.
And
okay.
The thought is, does it actually really even go away?
Wow.
Sometimes they end up having to live with it. That's why I'm doing all of this. This is all about prevention.
Right.
For my website here. It's all about trying to prevent this.
Okay. So, all right. Well, hey, I'm all for, prevention here. Now I've been thinking here. My mind works sometimes in strange and twisted ways. And, we've got Donald Trump. He's over there. He's trying to drain the swamp. And the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking, you know, he's doing it the wrong way. If he would just authorize, you know, maybe some of these crop dusters with a 500,000 gallons of permethrin and just crop dust, spray the swamp, get all these blood-sucking vermin out of Washington, D.C., it would probably kill them all in just a few weeks, and we'd have no more blood-sucking vermin in Washington, D.C. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, and you're wondering, is it a felony for us to talk like this? I don't know.
I hope not.
All right, well, Brian, we are out of time for this segment, but boy, I tell you, you have really educated me on Lyme disease, on ticks, permethrin, all of that stuff. One more time, tell us your website.
LimeTickBugHub.com.
You know, it kind of sounds
and
like
Skip, you need to get some of the stuff. You need to get some of the stuff for yourself when you're out in the woods next and for hunting too.
You're
Remember,
right.
Remember, hunters, it's odorless. Odorless. Hunters love it.
Well, I will definitely, I'll definitely get some of that. All
okay.
right. Well, Brian, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. Love talking about it.
All right. Okay, folks, again, that's LimeTickBugHub.com for all things tick, vile, nasty, and blood-sucking. And then go ahead and check out our sponsors, FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical and then ElitePhirearms.us. When we come back, we're going to delve more deeply into this whole blood-sucking vermin thing, and I will tell you what I really, really think. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What is it this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, just seeing an armed citizen with an AR-15 in his hands was enough to cause a knife-wielding assailant to stop his assault on a pregnant woman in Kendall County, Illinois. He was half a breath away from getting his head blown off, and he knew that, the protective neighbor said, after he used America's most popular semi-automatic rifle to thwart the attack. The mother-to-be had ordered a pizza and had gone outside to wait for the pizza driver. While she was waiting, a tenant from her apartment complex started a heated conversation with her. As the argument escalated, the woman's husband came out to see what was going on. The assailant pulled a knife and stabbed the husband, nicking the woman with the same swipe of the blade. Shouting, including a threat to kill the woman's baby, ensued. That caught the attention of a neighbor who works as a private security officer. He looked to see what was happening, saw blood in the hallway, grabbed his AR-15. Upon seeing the rifle, the assailant bolted. Police arrived thereafter and tracked down the suspect.
Thanks, Colonel. AR-15s, or black rifles, as the media is so fond of calling them, are a great choice for a home defense weapon. The media and those on the left have spent several decades vilifying the AR-15, calling it a weapon of war and an assault rifle. The media, as well as politicians on the left, will tell you there is no place for AR-15s in civilian hands. They are of the mistaken belief that AR-15s are the same rifles used by the U.S. military. But this couldn't be further from the truth. Here are the facts. 1. The AR designation in AR-15 does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite, the name of the company that first developed the AR-15 back in 1956.
True assault rifles are capable of firing fully automatic, like a machine gun. But AR-15s fire only semi-automatic. That is, you press the trigger once and get only one shot. 2. AR-15s are not military-grade weapons. Why would any top-of-the-line military choose an AR-15 when there are so many other rifles and carbines capable of firing on full auto and three-round burst? They wouldn't, and that's why U.S. forces do not carry AR-15s. The standard issue these days would be MP4s, which fire semi-auto and three-round burst for standard infantry. Special forces carry M4A1s, which fire semi-auto and full auto. So, when the media tells you that AR-15s are the same carbines used by the U.S. military, they are lying to you. And 3, AR-15s, while not suitable to fight wars, are great at protecting civilian homes and have quickly become the most popular rifle in America for that reason. When I'm on the street, my primary self-defense weapon is my handgun, but at home, I keep a decked-out AR-15 with EOTech sight as well as a laser sighting system. While I don't need fully automatic for home defense, it's nice to know I have that 30-round magazine should the crap ever hit the fan.
Skip, did you say the media wasn't telling the truth?
Yes. Well, half are not telling the truth. The other half are just stupid.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Okay, folks, wasn't that a great two segments with Brian Anderson from way up there in the UP, eh? Gosh, I love that accent. I love Brian Anderson, and I love the UP. I love to visit up there because it's almost like going back in time 100 years. Everything smells so primal up there, and it wakes up the beast in me. Have you ever noticed that everything's bigger up there in the UP? The mosquitoes are huge. The ticks are the size of Buicks. One good suck and they drain a 200-pound man dry as a bone. And man, does it ever get cold up there. You gotta respect any man who can live in weather like that where they ice fish 8 months out of the year. I used to go up there 3 or 4 times every year to teach concealed carry classes, and boy, did we have fun. The range time, it was pretty cold though, especially in the winter. Once I saw a tick up there in April, still wearing Arctic Carhartts. Imagine that. He almost got me. But fortunately, I took him down with a few well-placed shots from my Smith & Wesson M&P full frame. That's the nice thing about ticks. One good body shot and they go down like a sack of potatoes. All right, enough messing around. Here's the part of the show where I tell you what I really think. Not all blood-sucking vermin are ticks or vampires or even leeches. In fact, a lot of them live and breed and cavort in Washington, D.C., the swamp. The home to all things slimy and spineless. Have I mentioned that I don't like the District of Columbia? I hate going there. They disarm you, then throw you to the local liberal wolves, a.k.a. street gangs, drug dealers, and politicians. When we had the Second Amendment march there back in 2010, all of us got a hotel in Virginia, and then we didn't cross the Potomac until the day of the rally. We just didn't want to be disarmed for any longer than we had to. Listen, folks, I don't like politicians in general. Are they all blood-sucking vermin? Well, maybe not. I suppose there are a few good ones still out there, but they are definitely few and far between. Was I joking when I told Brian Anderson we should spray D.C. with 500,000 gallons of permethrin in order to get rid of all the vermin? Of course. We don't want to kill them. We just want to get them out of office, send them packing back to their liberal and natural habitats. Let them suck the blood out of their own people, but not the rest of us. I have long felt that elected officials shouldn't be allowed to set foot in D.C. Apparently, there's some kind of toxin in the water there that pollutes good character. So no self-respecting person should even enter the zone. D.C. must stand for the District of Contamination, or the District of Crap, or District of Cesspool. Who knows? Am I being harsh? Yeah, I am. But quite frankly, these politicians have earned a good butt-kicking, and it's been a long time in coming. It's time to stand up to the political blood-sucking ticks and draw the line. Lower our taxes. Stop invading our lives. Get out of our families. And for God's sake, stay out of our churches. I think God can handle the church without any help from Uncle Sam. And that's what I really think. Okay, well, we're out of time for now, but don't forget to check out Brian's website at limetickbughub.com and learn how to protect your family against blood-sucking vermin.
And also check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and check out Larry Jackson at elitefirearms.us. Also go to amazon.com and get a copy of my book, Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. And above all else, I want to see you, all of you, on June 20th at the Capitol in Lansing during the Second Amendment March. I'll be there along with all three Republican candidates for governor. Bring your favorite gun along with you and your good judgment. This is a peaceful march. You can get all the details at 2amarch.com. That's the number 2, the letter A, march.com, 2amarch.com. We will see you there. Next week, we will have Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry, and he is going to give us the results of a FOIA request they got from the state police on what they are doing with the funds that they collect from concealed pistol licenses. Some people think that those fees might be a bit high, and perhaps the government should give some of that money back. We'll find out Tom Lambert's view next week. Okay, folks, well, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Destiny dressed you this morning, my friend, and now fear is trying to pull off your pants.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!